To all the ladies in the place with under some pressure, hit and set by Gilbert Brown. Who rock grooves and make moves with all the mommies. The back. The old Gravedigger. The back of the
club, Mac and Hall, my crew's behind me. I mean, this guy was 345 pounds, and when you have a nickname like the Gravedigger, you're God.
And now, presented by Stadium View Bar, Grill, and Banquet Hall in beautiful Green Bay, Wisconsin, the Packer Report Podcast with Gilbert Brown. Here's your host, publisher of the Packer Report, Ross Uglum. Believe me, sweetie, I got enough to feed the need. No need to be greedy. I got mad friends with Benz that see notes by the layers. True to life players. Jump in the Rover and come up.
What is up, Packers fans? We are back from the bye week. Welcome to yet another episode of the Packer Report Podcast with Gilbert Brown, brought to you by Stadium View Bar, Grill, and Banquet Hall in beautiful Green Bay, Wisconsin. Gilbert, how'd you treat yourself on the bye week?
I try to stay warm, Ugg. That's what I tried to do, man. I was, it's been crazy weather. So it'd be rain one day, snow one day, sun one day, so. You know, you got that gloomy where you're looking at like that puppy dog in the window, just looking outside.
Yeah, you must love this part of the country if you're hanging out up here during retirement. I'm not sure you could convince me of that.
I'm a Midwest guy, man. I love the seasons. My favorite month is October. I love October. That's when everything starts to change and spooky stuff coming on TV because of Halloween. You know, and then you roll into Thanksgiving and Christmas. So I'm a Midwest guy. I love the seasons, man.
For sure. All right. Not a whole lot that was newsworthy. Fortunately, the Packers came back from the bye week at full participation for practice, which has not been the case in recent seasons, certainly. Folks have not been staying healthy, lost guys for the season. And so far, this is a squad that has stayed, you know, knock on wood, this is a squad that has stayed pretty darn healthy. And so to see everybody being able to participate in practice this late into the season, I think is impressive. And it's a good thing. And it's I think luck is a big part of it. But I think you have to appreciate what the new strength and conditioning staff has done as well, because they're keeping these guys upright. And this late in the season, that's a big, big deal. Other than that, the Vikings and the 49ers, two of the teams that the Packers are fighting with, obviously the Vikings for the division and the 49ers for playoff seeding, they both probably won games they shouldn't have. The Vikings were down 20-0 to Denver at halftime, became the first team in the last 100 tries to win a game being down 20 at half. And then the 49ers had a big-time comeback win against Kyler Murray and the Arizona Cardinals. So last week with the Packers being off, obviously they didn't take a loss, but it would have been a little bit more fun of an off week had those two early results held and had San Francisco and Minnesota dropped a game. But obviously that didn't happen. And now I would say the up to this point game of the season – maybe that game in Dallas, but up to this point, the game of the season is Packers at 49ers on Sunday Night Football. That's what we got going, Gilbert.
Yeah, man. Them Vikings, man. I mean, they grown men should never wear purple. I was always like to say that. Also, they look like 11 little Barneys running around out there. The 49ers, you know, when you look at that team, man, and you look at who we chasing or who trying to stay afloat and everything. Yeah, you're right. Them two shouldn't have won those games, but we can't look at that. We got to look at the stuff ahead. And whoever's ahead is where we got to go. So it's the 49ers first. We got to pop them and then go to the next one. Because, like I said, I'm thinking Super Bowl, baby. Anything else is unacceptable.
Well, and two, I mean Green Bay has everything in front of them. They have a game. Now, granted, both are on the road, but they have a chance to hand the Niners a loss themselves, and they have a chance to hand the Vikings a loss themselves. They can take care of their own damn business. You know, they literally control They literally control the path to the number one seed in the playoffs if they want it. You know, I'm shoot you straight. If they win the next six and go 14-2, they are going to be the number one seed. I'm not necessarily saying that's going to happen, but that absolutely would be the situation. All right.
I think everybody in that facility knows that. You know, that's the difference between Green Bay and other teams. Even the janitors that's walking around sweeping the floor know what's at stake and know when you're in the championship round the things that you got to do.
All right, Gilbert. We've had a fortunate kind of string of games here as far as I think one of the top things people come for besides the pop culture and the football analysis and things like that is some Gilbert stories. And we had a chance to talk about the 96 NFC Championship game because they played the Panthers. We had a little bit of an opportunity to chat about the Mud Bowl. Mm-hmm. And we didn't go deep into it because I knew this 49ers game was coming. Mm-hmm. What do you remember about the Mud Bowl? I can't remember if it's Bruce Wilkinson or who that 49ers player is, but there's that famous Sports Illustrated picture of him, just his face caked in mud. What do you remember about that game?
You know what, man, to start off a good story, you got to go back to 1995.
Okay.
That first time we went up to San Francisco when nobody gave us a chance to beat them. I think that was the start of us being able to become a pretty good team. You know, the fact of how are we going to beat these 49ers? They're so great. They're so this, they're so that. And the work that we put in, because we knew they was not a physical team. They was a finesse team. You know, they had great players and they had great things going on, but they was a finesse team. And sure, our whole thing about playing the 49ers from 95 on until Raggedy Terrell Owens caught that pass on us.
We'll talk about that in a second.
Was to beat them into submission physically. And that Mud Bowl came about. And for us, man, it was like kids in the playground, but we had an assignment to do. And our assignment was to beat them silly and have fun doing it. And we were two great teams. Everybody had great players on each side of the ball. My ex-roommate from Kansas, Dana Stubblefield, he was on the other side. So definitely I wanted to beat them, you know. And it's funny how when you're growing up, you got all these great players that you played with that wasn't supposed to be great. Like me and Jerome Bettis, every time we played Pittsburgh, we got to outdo each other. And that's how it was against San Francisco. And I was like, look, Adam Timmer, oh, you just beat Dana Stubblefield till he can't be beat no more. You know, just beat him down. You know, and every time they would put his face in the mud or do this, that, or the other, I would go crazy, you know, and he would hope his guys would do the same to me. But it was an awesome game. We played physical, and the outcome was we beat them again.
Yeah, that Mud Bowl game ended up not being, I don't think, that close on the scoreboard. I can't be completely certain, but I remember ultimately something along the lines of like 23-10 or I just found a picture of you chasing after Steve Young. He couldn't have been fun to try and corral.
No, and the funny part about that is if anybody ever want to see me without my face mask off, that was the game. I had to take my face mask off because it was so wet and muddy, and it was very important. I mean, no one has time to look cool out there. We got to get the job done. So I had to take my face mask off so I can see and go play the game. So that's a little trivia tidbit question for everybody. If you pull that game up, you can see the digger without his face mask on. Felt naked out there.
Yeah, I think the one that I just pulled up and posted on Twitter, you still have the visor on, so it must be pretty early on in the proceedings.
Yeah.
Because I can understand needing to take off something like that, because you just get junk all over it, and it probably I can't imagine it's obviously hard to play when you can't see, and I can't imagine it was real easy for you to see.
Yeah, I think I got a picture on my phone. Maybe I'll post it on Twitter after we get done today.
Sure. Well, like I said, I just tagged in a couple things on there right now. Some really cool imagery from that game. I love those old photographers and the way that they were able to make
phenomenal guys.
Yeah, and they made it look like kind of the epic battle that it was. Okay, yeah. So let's talk about that 98 game. So that 98 season, I know. The 98 season was kind of nuts, right? Because Reggie retired, right?
Was Reggie out there then?
Because did Reggie retire after you lost the Super Bowl?
No, that was Sean Jones.
Oh, okay.
Sean Jones retired after the Super Bowl. Him and Keith Jackson. Which if we would have had, we would have won Super Bowl 32.
Right, that's what I'm saying. After Super Bowl 32, did Reggie retire?
No, I think Reggie was there then.
Okay.
I think he was there.
At any rate, you guys win Super Bowl 31.
Yep.
Lose Super Bowl 32.
Yep.
And then
was going back for number three.
You were, yeah, right. And honestly, picked to, okay, so he retired, just so you know, he retired after the 98 season. So you're right. He played in Green Bay and then came back and played one weird year for Carolina, which was interesting.
Right.
So, okay. Right. The bottom line is that the Vikings were good. They were good, because you guys were picked to win the North, picked to probably go back to the Super Bowl for a third straight time and try to win that one. But the Randy Moss, Chris Carter, Randall Cunningham, 15-1 Vikes, they were no joke.
Yeah, they was unfortunately pretty good.
Do you remember that Monday night loss to them?
Oh. You know, why are you bringing up all these bad memories?
I just brought up the Mud Bowl. That has to be a great memory.
Yeah, but then you threw a curveball at me, man. Nobody wants to think. You know what, man? I always said, going down to Minnesota, if there was no top on that Metrodome or no top on what they're playing on now, they would be a force, because it was so cold in Minnesota. Sometimes I thought it was even cold in Green Bay. And we would get off the bus and we'd be like, oh, thank God we're playing inside today. Oh, my God, thank God. Woo! And then the walk at halftime in Minnesota was dreadful. You had to walk up 100 flight of stairs to get back to your locker room. As soon as you sit down, all right, guys, we got to get ready to go. I'm like, huh? Come on, man. What? Oh, my God. Horrible. That's horrible.
And I would assume you haven't been to the new place yet.
I ain't never.
Okay. Okay. So the 98 season doesn't go super well. You guys get a lot of guys beat up. Had some guys miss the season due to injury, end up going 11-5. There's nothing wrong with 11-5, but it means that obviously you don't win the division. You end up as a wild card team, and you've got to head to San Francisco.
Our nemesis, San Francisco 49ers. That was a game where, we were thinking, get back to the Super Bowl. This, you know, this Green Bay Packer dynasty we're trying to start, you know. And with us losing Super Bowl 32, that stain, that feeling was on our backs the whole season. And with the emergence of the Vikings, it kind of made it kind of hard for us knowing that you had to deal with them and also deal with the 49ers.
Yeah, and this was also obviously a time that the Packers had gotten better of the 49ers. I mean, they weren't a rival like the Cowboys where you were trying to climb and get there. You'd already gotten there against these guys. Mm-hmm. They were in a situation where they were kind of past their Super Bowl prime. They had a few guys, not necessarily age out, but Jerry was getting older and Steve was getting older. And even Garrison Hurst was getting older. They had guys that were coming up though too, like Terrell Owens. So kind of walk me through that. Brett goes down and throws a touchdown pass to Freeman, or maybe do you remember who it was?
No.
Okay.
No. I was probably getting some Gatorade. Then, yeah. You know.
It's offense anyway. You didn't need to pay attention.
Yeah. But the thing about that game was, man, it was that, you know we had to go up there, which was kind of whatever. And we always, like I said a couple episodes ago, in the NFC, it was always the big two, big three, and it was Dallas and San Francisco, and we wanted to be that third team. And during that time, when you got two of the top threes going at it at the time, with other teams emerging up, it was kind of one of those things where this game was different. They still had all the primetime players. We still all had the primetime players. But I think that was that the game Jerry Rice fumbled and was a big commotion about – he fumbled that ball.
He fumbled the hell out of that ball.
He fumbled that ball. But them sorry can't-see zebras that's walking around gave them the ball. Ugh. Which killed me. It killed me.
Yeah, I honestly think that might have been the reason Instant Replay came back. And not necessarily just that. But I'm serious, though, because I think that challenges and the replay system returned maybe even that next season, because when they replayed that, it wasn't close. Mm-hmm. It wasn't close.
No,
the ball was out. He absolutely fumbled. It should have been Green Bay ball. Y'all should have been on your way to Atlanta.
ATL.
Yeah.
You look at that, man, a game like that, and to put it in their hands and for them to mess it up like they did and for us to lose that kind of a game, when we were trying to get back to where we needed to do, that one really hurt. I don't say it hurt like Super Bowl 32, but it really hurt.
Sure, sure. But that totally makes sense. Minnesota was kind of a juggernaut that season, but it's hard to beat a team three times. You know, you could have had a chance, obviously, for a rematch with Denver if you make it to the Super Bowl. I can imagine that would have been a tough pill to swallow.
Man, and to go back to that game, we made Terrell Owens famous.
Yeah.
Made him famous, man. Oh, my God. So who was the other receiver they had?
J.J. Stokes. So Stokes, it was Stokes.
J.J. Stokes.
Yeah, Stokes, Rice, and T.O. They were nasty.
They had a nice three, but that play, man, that he caught that touchdown, and you look, and at the time we had the notorious Darren Sharper back there.
Yeah.
And they threw the ball, and we was looking like, is he going to play the ball or the man? See, Darren Sharper loved to hit people. So he let T.O. catch the ball, and then he was going to try to jar it loose by hitting him. How about you go for the ball, dummy? Oh, my God. So we lose that one because Terry, he over there crying. Get him a Kleenex. Oh, oh. I was like, are you serious? Are you serious? Oh, that game sticks to me. It hurts. Yeah, it hurts. Oh, yeah. Feel my pain, people. Feel my pain.
I think there are a lot, if you're over the age of 30, I think is right about that range where people do feel your pain, because I'll never forget my parents had a lake, like a cabin that was like an hour and a half, hour and 40 away from where we lived. And my dad had this little TV, I mean, real, real little, with an antenna that stuck out the TV. So you could watch, cause a lot of times we'd come home, a lot of times we'd come home from the lake on Sundays. So there'd be football on. So I wanted this little handheld TV to watch the game. And, I was 10 and I gotta be honest with you. You thought T.O. was crying. My ass was crying like a baby.
If you was on that plane ride back, OMG.
Could just, oh my God, just hear a pin drop.
Oh my God. Everybody had the gas face for real.
So, so let me, like, cause I think this was a interesting time or a confusing time for folks. How much did you guys know about Holmgren? I mean, how much did you know what he was considering? Because it seemed like a lot of folks knew, even though the Packers had tremendous success with him, people knew he was kind of on his way out. What do you remember about that whole situation?
You know, I was one of those guys. I was probably naive to it, or I didn't want to believe it.
Okay.
I was just so mad at him because he took away Fritz Sherman from me. Oh, I was so mad. I was just like, because Fritz Sherman to me was one of the best coaches, one of the best motivators. You know, he was a guy that always came down to the defensive line to start practice because he knew it always starts up front. He preached that to us. We believed it. His favorite quote was, pay attention to the detail. And when all that went down, I didn't care. I was just like, just long as Fritz, please, Fritz, don't go. Please don't go. Please don't go. And when that happened, man, it just broke my heart, man, because I love playing for him. I enjoyed the things he'd done for us. And when he passed away, his horses carried him home. When I say his horses, I'm going to say me, Sean, Santana, and Reggie, we carried him home.
That's awesome, man. That's awesome. Yeah, Fritz was a great coach. Obviously, his son Pat still in the league now as the head coach of the New York Giants. We'll give you another chance to, Pat is his nephew, not his son. Pat is his nephew. But we'll give you a chance to tell a few more Fritz stories when they play the Giants. I think that'll be a good connection there.
Will that be a game? Will that be a game?
I don't know. We'll see how interested the Giants are in winning. They might be.
Yeah, they might. Yeah, they do get a hell of a running back.
Yeah, they might be interested in a little bit of draft positioning. They might be hopping on the tank there for a little bit. Maybe get themselves a look at Chase Young or the big old kid from Iowa. Yeah. I don't think they're in the market for a quarterback, but they might want one of those best non-quarterbacks. We'll see how hard they're trying against the Packers in a couple weeks here. Let's take some time to pay the bills.
Hey,
you've got some upcoming stuff, but we are talking about the Stadium View Bar, Grill, and Banquet Hall. This is a place that I've been on a number of occasions, as I mentioned before on the show. It's a place I used to go before we had any kind of arrangement with them. That is for damn sure. But just a fantastic menu, really good selection of beers, both national and local. Good specials too. I mean, don't just think of Stadium View as a game day place. Throughout the week, you go there are some great food specials, some great drink specials, and I'm talking Monday to Friday. So if you're in the area, hit them up. Let them know.
Absolutely. I think that, you know, we do our tailgate party there every home game, and the guests that I bring with me and the people that we have, it's awesome. But like you said, during the week is when you also need to go there, because even in the summertime, it's a great atmosphere out there and a great, great way to spend your time for lunch or get your dinner on the way home. So check it out, man. The gravedigger sent you.
Yeah, let them know. And we're not joking about that. Like, let them know you heard about it on the podcast. That will make them happy. That'll be it.
Please.
Yeah, that'll be a big deal for sure. So, for example, this is a Friday. You're hearing this on you're hearing this on a Friday. This is the Friday fish fry served all day.
What's your favorite fish, Hug? What you
I'm
like
a walleye eating? Guy.
Oh, I figured you
yeah.
would. I figured
walleye
you
guy.
Would. I'm a catfish and bluegill with a bottle of Frank's Red Hot sauce and one slice of bread.
Hey, remember what we were talking about before? What? You want the soup of the day is?
Yeah.
That clam chowder. Yeah, that's that clam chowder today.
Now you want to know how you can tell what good clam chowder is? If the potatoes melt in your mouth, that's a good clam chowder. If the potatoes is like bricks, get rid of it.
Get rid of it, baby. You know, I should have had lunch before I started recording this damn thing with you. And you would think, right, that there wouldn't be a drink special. It's a Friday. They'll get you to pay full price anyway. Not true. $4.75, double Tito's vodka. And that is, I don't know about Gilbert, but that's certainly, Tito's vodka is on brand for this side of the podcast. And if you, anybody that knows.
Well, you and my sister need to hang out there because my sister Joanne, she's a Tito master.
Yeah, the 4th of July at our in beautiful Pelican Lake in Minnesota, there's no running out of Tito's. I'll put it that way. Absolutely not. So anyway, guys, head down to Stadium View. Head down there right now and get you a double of Tito's and get in on the fish fry and maybe, you know, send us a picture of some of that clam chowder because that stuff over there is really, really good. All right, man, we went through your top five TV Westerns of all time last week. We're going to take a little break from the football. You want to talk about maybe what's a little bit more well-known, which means I got to pull up Wikipedia. Mm-hmm. We have to be prepared around here.
Yeah.
You want to talk about movie Westerns?
Yes, I love Westerns. I love them. My top five... Now, you know, everybody got the top fives and everybody, I challenge you to see what your top fives, you know, there's honorable mentions and different things, you know, but my top five Westerns of all times, like I could sit and watch, everybody that know me, it's a movie on here I can watch every day, the same movie every day. But my top five, my first one is Unforgiven by Clint Eastwood. That is my top Western. Of all
1992.
Time. My second. Yep. 1992, Clint Eastwood. Morgan Freeman in that movie, too.
Okay.
Yeah, You got to watch it. My second one is Tombstone.
Oh,
with Kurt Russell.
Yes.
You seen that one?
Yes, I love Tombstone. Kurt Russell, Val Kilmer, I think, is in that one as well.
I'm your Huckleberry.
Powers Booth.
Yes. Yep. I love Powers Booth too. Yes. That there, man. Oh, man. I can watch that all day. My third, I'm going to see what you know. Open Range. Kevin Costner and Robert Duvall. You ever seen that one?
I have not. 2003. So kind of a reasonably newer one. In 2003.
Very good movie, man. I mean, them three right there, if you a Western guy, you sit down and you say, I ain't got nothing to do, those three right there will run you through the whole day. Awesome Open Range. My fourth, I'm going to the GOAT, Rio Bravo. Have you ever heard of that one? John Wayne, Rio Bravo.
The Duke. Okay.
The Duke.
Oh, Rio Dean
Bravo had Dean Martin. Martin in it. Okay. Yeah. Dean Martin was in there. It was a singing dude in there too. Pretty boy. I forgot. What is his name?
Ricky Nelson.
Ricky Nelson. Yeah. Old pretty boy in there. But that movie is so good. And you know what? It had one of my favorite actors. He was, if you ever remember that show, BJ and the Bear, Lobo, Sheriff Lobo. His name was Claude Akins. Anything that got Claude Akins on it, I'm watching it. I love him, man. He He's such a great actor. And my fifth to round it out, Django with Jamie Foxx.
Oh, interesting. Okay.
Django. Yes, yes, yes. I love that movie because it's got Samuel L. Jackson in it. It's one of those movies where it's hard for some people to watch, but it also tells the truth, man. You know what I'm saying? How it was back then. If I can throw in an honorable mention, I really like that other movie that I'm a big Quentin Tarantino okay. fan too.
You're damn sure you do whatever you want.
I love The Hateful Eight, man. I really love that one too. Because it got Kurt Russell in it. It got Samuel L. Jackson in it. Yep. All of them in it, man. So it was a great, I can take all five of those movies, six of those movies, and watch them back to back every day until the cows come home.
We'll do a Tarantino day, you and me, one time. We'll talk about because there are a lot of, Pulp Fiction, Kill Bill.
Oh my God.
You know,
his vision is awesome.
You ever have a chance to see Once Upon a Time in Hollywood? The brand new one.
I see, that's the thing about me, man. I don't go and get the Fire Stick and put it in. I'm a guy that when it's a good movie like that or something I want to see, I'm going to go pay my money and go see that. And big shout out to Marcus Theaters because they really had you comfortable in those
seats.
My
wife gets angry when we don't go to the Dream Lounger. I'm serious. I'm not joking. My wife, there's one theater. So as most of you know, I live in Fargo. So one of the theaters has 14 mm-hmm. screens and it has nice seats, but not great seats. And then the other place has mm-hmm. 10 screens, and all 10 screens have the Dream Lounger. And so if I buy movie tickets and it's not at the Dream Lounger, I'm in trouble. It's my ass. I'm serious.
Right. Hey, you got to spend a little extra money, man. You got to get it, man. That's a beautiful.
The worst part is the same price. It just means I wasn't paying attention.
Oh, you didn't want to drive the extra mile? Is that what it is?
Yeah. Like I said, it means I wasn't paying attention. That's what it means. All right.
I guess.
So we had one hashtag Ask Gravedigger that we wanted to get to because we whiffed on it, couldn't mm-hmm. find it. Both you and I had seen it. Both you and I had seen it on Twitter, but when mm-hmm. we tried to pull it up again, we lost it or it was in a reply or I don't know. Maybe they spelled Ask Gravedigger wrong. Who the hell knows? But the bottom line is that we got one mm-hmm. one more we want to get to before we, you know, hop back to the football. And it's a mm-hmm. I think for our demographics, a good question. I'm certainly a comics nerd, as are you. So they want to know, mm-hmm. and I'm pretty sure we can have this discussion about the comics another day, but they are talking about the films. So do you prefer the mm-hmm. DC movies to the Marvel movies? Or other way around is the question.
Oh my God. You know what, man? I am the wrong guy to ask that because I love them both. I'm gonna put it on Twitter. I got a vehicle. I got a van. And them old yep. school vans. And it's a 1972 Dodge Tradesman. And I got it decked out Marvel versus DC.
You got to put I need a picture of that.
Yeah, I'm going to put it on. I'll put it on Twitter today when I find it. But I'm just a guy, man, that, oh my God. I don't care if people say it's bad. I'm going to see it. I don't care. I mean, it's just, I'm a Marvel DC guy. I got comic books out the world. And I just enjoy the characters, you know, the characters and the things that they do and the joy that it brings, and it lets you escape all this crazy stuff in the world. So I'm both, man. I'm sorry. I'm DC Marvel.
I'm with you in the sense that I have seen a lot of superhero movies that people tell me are bad. For example, like Dark Phoenix came out and it was an X-Men movie and everybody said it was terrible. And then I shouldn't go see it. We saw it anyway, just because you're right. Enjoy the characters and enjoy the escape from reality. And also, too, I mean, we're kind of living in the golden age. When I was a kid, certainly when you were a kid, it wasn't like there was a new superhero movie once every quarter. You know, every 2 months there's a new superhero movie. It's years, you know, years in.
Right.
So we're living in an era that's for.
Let me tell you, man. I'm going to tell you how much I love. I'm going to go back to the hashtag Gray Ray. I even sit up and watch the 1945, 40s serials with Batman. And they even had one with Shazam and Captain America. I mean, the old school serials, I think the company was Republic or something like that. And they made cereals, and the kids would go pay the 25 cents or whatever, and they would have the war bond intermissions and different things. Like, I'm a nostalgic guy, man, so I love all that.
1943 is a 15-chapter serial. You're right, though, in theaters, 15 chapters.
Wait till you see his ears.
Oh, man, they're brutal. They're terrible.
And the Batmobile is horrible. It's hard to look like an old school Chevette.
The poster is great.
Just horrible. Oh, yeah. Oh, yeah. Oh, yeah. Until you see the movie.
All right. Let's dive back in to the ball a little bit here.
Right. And, get to the X's and O's,
one
baby.
Thing that I've really struggled with, because I actually kind of like, especially with some of the injuries that San Francisco is dealing with, and watching the film of the game from last year, I actually kind of like the matchup here for Green Bay on a neutral field. I would be picking the Packers, certainly at Lambeau Field as well. What I'm having a hard time coming to grips with, though, and it's something we've already talked about because of when we started the show, was their difficulty out there on the West Coast and why that is so hard. They just laid an egg out in LA. They never seem to win at Seattle. They really struggled to win at San Francisco. You saw that every time, even during like the Kaepernick era, 49ers, they would never win that game out there. Why is it so hard for the last 25 years to win those West Coast games?
It's, you know what, man? It's like on a plane and you cross over the Bermuda Triangle. Okay. Or something, man. I don't know, man. It's. I go back to, you know what? Even if I say something, it's making excuses.
Sure.
You know what I'm saying? We should be able to go down there and handle business. But for some people or some guys or for the Green Bay Packers, it's been a challenge for us. You know, we all, and vice versa for teams like them. They come down to Lambeau Field in November, December. We're going to beat you silly.
Right.
You know what I'm saying? You know, so, you know, it's kind of like give and take. You know what I'm saying? We go down there, they usually get us. They come up to us, we usually get them. It's just one of those things, man, where, you know, we got to, in our head, we got to understand that this is a business trip. We need to go down there, handle business, get back on the plane, and go back and eat our cheese dip.
Well, and I think that was a big deal too with the Mud Bowl that we just talked about, the fact that you did go out there and take one because it's been hard. You got a lot of rough memories out in San Francisco, obviously, and as I mentioned, the Packers as a whole have rough West Coast memories. Everything, you know, in today's league seems to start with the quarterback, at least as far as the conversations go, and they've got handsome Jimmy Garoppolo and Jimmy GQ, if you will. Been pretty middle of the pack as far as like Pro Football Focus's grading and some of Football Outsiders' numbers. And the reason is decision making. He seems to have the arm, seems to have the athleticism to move around, manipulate the pocket, and get things done. But he's up near the leaders in turnover worthy plays. And so what they mean, Gilbert, by turnover worthy play is throwing an interception or throwing one that should have been interception. They kind of grade those the same as far as you throw it right to a guy and he drops it. Well, you didn't do nothing different. You know, you still made that bad decision. And so there's some good and there's some bad, but he's been very, very mediocre. What do they have to do to get their hands on some footballs here?
Well, I mean, to their defense, San Francisco has gotten a quarterback now. You know, if you go back and look at their history from Joe Montana to Steve Young to
Jeff
to Kaepernick to now, yep, Jeff Garcia to now, is now they're back in that mold of that quarterback. You know what I'm saying? And I think they are a player away from really being something special than what they are now. Defensively, they're a team that gets off the ball. Bosa is a big, big time addition for them on top of the other players they have. But they are tailor-made for the Green Bay Packers to go up there and beat them. And I'm telling everybody that. They tailor-made for us to do that. Because, you know, I've been walking around here all this week and everybody, oh, we gonna murder y'all. I said, no. You guys are tailor-made for us because we're going to be physical. They're going to try to find their whatever their knack is. But we already there. We've been there. We've done that. So that's why I say I ain't even worried about it. We're going to go there, whoop them, and come on home and get ready for the next chunk.
So how much do you think you can take from last year's game? And folks, if you don't remember last year's game, just an unbelievable comeback win at Lambeau Field. A 1-4 Niners team came in, rolled down the field, scored a touchdown. Then Green Bay comes back. But in the fourth quarter, San Francisco has the lead, and Rodgers takes the ball. And I'm going to look this up here just so I have the numbers right, but we'll come back to it in a second. Rodgers takes the ball down the field and I believe sets them up for a Mason Crosby field goal. But when he got the ball in his hands, I do remember there not being a tremendous amount of time left. And I remember him taking maybe a deeper shot to Davante Adams than people were maybe comfortable with, because that was aggressive. And it was another situation just like last year or last week, excuse me, where they didn't want to have – now, granted, the season didn't go particularly well, but that was another situation where they didn't want to have a bad taste in their mouth for the bye week, and they needed to get that dub. So Rodgers takes the ball down seven, goes down the field, throws a touchdown to Adams, and then, if you remember, with inside 2 minutes, San Francisco gets the ball back with a chance to win, and that was that bomb interception by Kevin King, where they tried to hit Goodwin, and Goodwin had been cooking them in that game. Marquise Goodwin, the 49ers speed receiver, their downfield guy. And Beathard threw a bomb to Goodwin that King intercepted, and Rodgers took the ball with no timeouts and 1:07 left and just stormed down the field, setting up Mason Crosby for the 27-yard game winner. But again, this is a different situation. Number one, it's not in Green Bay. No Jimmy Garoppolo. They didn't have D-Ford. Mm-hmm. They might not have D-Ford this time, but they didn't have D-Ford, their number one pass rusher. Obviously, they didn't have Bosa, who is as good of a rookie pass rusher as I've seen in about a decade. I mean, how much can you really look at last year's game? Obviously, it's going to – They're gonna show the tape. You know, they're gonna watch it, but does it help?
No, it doesn't help at all. Number one is last year. Number two,
you're running players on the field.
Number three, yeah. Number three, the atmosphere is different. You know, it's a game where it's two teams out there, and rightfully so. It's like back when we were playing. Now you got the top team going against the top team. And whoever comes out the victor is going to be whoever wants it the most, whoever put the time in. We had a whole week off to prepare. You know, we rested up. Everybody's practicing. Everybody couldn't wait to put the helmet back on to get back out there. So, it's going to be a game, but I promise you, it ain't going to – I don't do numbers. I don't do numbers, but we're going to win.
I like the honesty. One thing that's a big deal in this game is the lack of Joe Staley. Joe Staley is maybe not one of those tackles, and tackles don't get a ton of love. They get more love than the guards. But he's one of those guys that is a perennial, right around all pro, right around Pro Bowl level guy, definitely an above average tackle. I don't think there's any question about it. And he is out. And if you watch the last two games, which is a should have been loss to the Cardinals and a was lost to the Seahawks, you saw them really struggle to protect Garoppolo. Gave up two sacks to a Arizona Cardinal team that's not honestly doesn't really have dudes. They don't have they don't have those guys to come back and get after you. But if you go back, more importantly, to the Seattle game, watch Jadeveon Clowney take over the game. I mean, absolutely take over the game. And that's where the
superb.
And that is where the Smith brothers come in big time with San Fran having tackle trouble.
You know what, man? You look at this game, and the reason we go back, I'm like a chess player. I play five moves ahead. The reason why I said this game is tailor-made for us, if you look at this offense and the way we play defense, we play pass first. I mean, you know, that's just us. We play pass first. So what does Frisco do? They're a heavy passing team. I expect Frisco to try to establish the run during this game, because they know that we're not as good against the run, even though they're not as good against the run, but they're going to try to establish the run first type attitude. We need to gear up for that. We need to get after the pass rusher and make them run the ball. We got to make them run the ball to beat them. If we let them pass us and kill us, we're going to be in trouble. We got to make them throw. We got to make them throw the ball, because we shouldn't
be. Yeah, and that's something that we, 21st as far as DVOA is concerned, 21st in run offense. That's not, bottom of the league, but it's not a high-level run offense. And the guy I think that is the big deal, whether he plays or doesn't play, although his backup, Ross Dwelly, had two touchdowns last week, is George Kittle. Kittle is Gronkowski retired, Kittle's as complete of a tight end as possible. When Gilbert and I get off, I'm going to watch a little bit more tape from last year, just because he and the guys covering him are the same personnel. And I want to find out how the Packers found a way last year's game to hold him to 30 catches on 4 yards. Cause that's not a George Kittle type of day. So I'm going to look at that after we hang up and figure out how that happened and how they might be able to do it again.
Well, you ain't got to do that, because you ain't culture, man, but you got to watch film. But you got to understand something, man. People really don't understand how crucial the tight end is. If they mug the tight end, like, remember how Wayne Simmons punished old boy from Frisco? What was his name? Brent Jones, was it? Punished him. And if they punish that tight end and take him out the game, just punish him. Don't just somebody in his face, mug him and work on those receivers. It's in the bag, man. But we don't watch the film that the coaches watch and what they see. It's like playing a chess. Like I said, it's like playing a chess game, where you got to see the players and you got to see where they're trying to get to. And if you can take certain players out of the game in the rules of the game, but take them away from the game, we win.
Know, Gilbert, I know I'm not coaching, but people got to have stuff to read over at Packer Report. Damn.
I mean, you sit out there with the clicker like, okay, this is what we got to do to beat them.
I wish I had a clicker. Okay, no clicker. All right. So go ahead with your prediction.
That's old school.
And I know you don't do the score. Just let them know. Let them know one more time.
No, I don't do the score, but I'm going Green Bay Packers for the W until the wheels fall off. And then when the wheels fall off, we get out and push.
So Gilbert can get on me now, and so can everybody else. I don't think they win this game. I have seen so many Green Bay.
Who don't win the game?
I've got
You should get off. Let me finish this by myself.
I got Green.
Get off, dog. Get off.
I've got San Francisco 24, Green Bay 21. I've seen too many West Coast losses. Yeah.
How? How? Just tell me how. Just tell me how. What makes you think that?
I've just seen too many West Coast losses, and I can see Kittle causing a problem. I can really see. I know that they don't. As a kind of rule, run the ball, but Mostert and Coleman are good backs, even if they don't have Breida.
We still love Hug. We still love him. He today is one of those days where he woke up this morning, slipped out the car, and hit his head on the dough.
And Kittle's a problem. I mean, they have struggled to cover the tight end since, good Lord, I can't even remember. If that guy has a chance to beat you, he will. And I obviously hope I'm wrong, but we'll see. We'll see. All right, guys, we want to thank Gilbert for his time, certainly. And as always, want to thank the people that put this baby together, being Mayfield Sports Marketing and obviously the title sponsor, Stadium View Bar, Grill, and Banquet Hall. We have obviously a request for you guys, as we have had in the past, and that's to do three things. Number one, subscribe to the show. Number two, give us a 5-star rating.
Please.
And number three, give us a written review. And what that does is when people search for the Packers, we show up sooner, and it's working out well. We've shot up the rankings. We were top 200 in sports just the other week, and there are a lot of sports podcasts out there. So guys, we really, really appreciate that. We just want as many people to listen to this baby as possible.
Crime.
Guys, we really appreciate that so much. By the way, there's going to be a ticket giveaway related to subscribing. So stay tuned to social media for details. I promise you, this is really happening. This is a real thing. Believe me. All right. Thanks everyone one last time. And go Pack, go.